listening to the Multifamily Podcast, brought to you by Ron Ruiz and Martin Canciola, co-founders of Apartment SEO, a premier Google agency, where we discuss current multifamily and real estate trends, apartment marketing strategies, and speak with some of the most influential thought leaders shaping the multifamily industry today.
All right, welcome to the Multifamily Podcast with Ron and Martin. Now, today we have a true entrepreneurial tech founder joining us today, who Ron and I met about 3 years ago. I actually went back and looked at the first time we communicated, and it was like back in 2021, from what I could find. We met at Multifamily Social Media Summit in Napa, which is a great conference, by the way. If you haven't checked it out, make sure to, you know, at least look at the website, multifamilysocialmedia.com. Check that out and see if it's something. It's in Napa, beautiful and wine country. But overall, it was a perfect place for me and Amulya to meet for the first time. He actually came up to me after my session and we had a chance to conversate. And since then, we've been in communication and hanging out pretty much kind of ever since. So it's my great pleasure to bring to the table Amulya Parmar, founder and CEO of leasemagnets.com. Welcome to the Multifamily Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun to get a chance to know you guys, get a chance to be part of the Multifamily Social Media Summit. And I'm excited to see where this conversation goes. I think there's so much to talk about.
Totally.
Absolutely. Amulya, thank you so much. Yeah, welcome to the podcast officially. I know we've been talking about this for a while. At least Mark and I have been talking about, like, we should have Amulya on. I think our audience is going to find out very quickly how knowledgeable you are, not only in the world of tech, but, you know, you've really embraced the multifamily industry that you came into. And so I am so excited to see you as a mover and shaker in our industry. And I honestly can't wait to learn more today, but also share more with our audience about what you have going on over there at Leaks Magnets. So happy to welcome you and make this episode happen today. So let's roll.
All right. So before we get into how you started Leaks Magnets, I wanted to give our audience a little background on who Amulya is. Can you share how you initially got interested in software development, technology during your early years?
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Lease Magnets is basically a software that enables you to give a better guided tour on every single apartment website. Now, in order to build that task, you have to know items like front-end development, full-stack development, back-end development. You need to understand some digital marketing, understand how the website visitor browses the website. You want to understand A/B testing, pop-up ads, conversion. And to me, that entire journey started back in high school, where I've got first fascinated with the art of building a website and getting it indexed. Now, Martin and Ron, you guys know this as well as much as anyone. Like, SEO, search engine optimization, was birthed by a very magical concept. You can buy a $12.99 domain name and you can suddenly publish in a front door that is now accessible from anywhere around the world. And the moment when your website gets indexed, it's like a magical concept. You can invite people, bring people there. You can teach them something. You can potentially convert them into a lead. You can get them to buy something you sometimes you've never met that individual. And to me, that journey was absolutely fascinating. I started building websites on my own. Then I started helping some other businesses, built a web hosting company. And then I helped everyone in the web hosting company build better websites. I got a chance to start a nonprofit that taught smaller nonprofits to build higher converting websites. And I worked across a large span of web, websites and, basic web development. And to me, there's a very magical concept. One is being indexed and the power of being indexed. There's truly no tool. It's like basically you can publish, if you think about how foreign a concept that would be to 50 or 100 years ago, it's mind-boggling. But then you add a second concept, which is, okay, zero marginal cost with the web. You can, it's not the reason why people love SaaS businesses or get into software is because you build it once, but you can scale almost not linearly with zero marginal cost. So for every additional unit you deliver to customer, it doesn't cost anything else. And to me, those are two magical constraints or lack of constraints you have with software and web development that you don't have with the real world. With the real world, you have to have a certain fixed input, wood, et cetera, to build the table. It isn't like that with software. And that table now can be just shipped to anywhere across the world in a matter of seconds for free on the internet. Those are two moments that got me really fascinated and I'm growing. I've just got better and better at it. You know, I think the world is changing so quickly when it comes to software and software development and marketing. Like, if you think that Facebook just got introduced 10, 12 years ago, we're in over the last, at least into the mainstream, and its marketing software as Google Ads, et cetera, is still rapidly evolving each and every 1 or 2 years. And so keeping up with it has been, and staying competitive and providing unique markets with different tools has been something I've really loved over the last several years.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I know that like a lot of this excitement has taken you to some really great places before even starting Lease Magnets. But so what I want to share with the audience is, what other companies did you work for and what kind of projects did you work on for them?
Yeah. So basically, there's like my career before Lease Magnets has been separated into two separate domains. One, which was me as a consultant. And so we would help lots of small businesses build websites, and then eventually we help nonprofits. I ended up turning the web hosting company into a nonprofit that would also help provide nonprofits with a free website that's converted. That website became Host Your Voice. That organization became Host Your Voice. Eventually, Host Your Voice. And this is another amazing power of the internet. You are one message away from someone across the country and you have no idea. So I was on Host Your Voice Instagram one day and I was messaging individuals. Never knows in the front end. I was looking for help and supporters for Host Your Voice and the free web hosting organization for nonprofits. And someone on the other end said, wow, I think your org is cool. I like some people you've been supporting. I was asking for help. He said, okay, let's hop on a call. Turns out he's the media director for public.org, the media subsidiary for United Nations.
Wow.
And legitimately 2 conversations later, she's like, we were helping one individual who was one photographer that was once blind. They really enjoyed what we were doing. And that individual, they said, okay, we'll fly out you and one of your Host Your Voice sponsors, and we'll fly you out. We'll bring you into the United Nations. We'll make you one of the official partners of one of the 7 partners. And this was like legitimately the year after high school. And they brought me in and they treated both of us unbelievable. We've been invited every year since. But this taught me like the power of the internet. Like, you're only one conversation away from potentially changing your organization, changing another person's life. That photographer would eventually get a full scholarship or get a scholarship to college. And it's been, and he's continued to grow. You can look at him up, mold me like clay. But, you know, from there, I think I just got more and more involved. So Host Your Voice continued to grow, but for me individually, I knew I wanted to go bring some of my knowledge and getting better conversion monetization, but in media. And because Host Your Voice was also media and training, we created for these organizations. So like, okay, I wanted to bring some of that knowledge back into the business world. So I got really good at like not just website development, but technology development from React, et cetera, and got better at A/B testing, and then focused on learning the technologies well in college. I got some internships and then eventually jobs, particularly around conversion optimization. So one of the places I worked with was Google. So Google put me on the Google Store team. So it's interesting. At Google, they do just their Google Store. That does approximately $500 million to $1 billion in revenue. And the thing is, they're not using Shopify or any kind of infrastructure. They have to build everything from scratch. And so I was put on a team for abandoned cart emails. So I legitimately wrote the code for Google Store's abandoned cart emails, and I wrote Salesforce integrations, et cetera. And to me, there's like so many learned lessons in that you push a single button and switch on a certain abandoned cart email campaign for Google that they didn't have before. And suddenly that's just $10 million of additional revenue in a couple of weeks. And like working on that scale is super cool. I think in some cases, it also taught me though the power of what Shopify and just a platform that certain technology individuals and providers like both of us can provide some of these, smaller, medium SMB companies. Like SMB companies take advantage of our technology because it puts them competitive with Google-like technology, but for a margin of the price to help them convert and increase conversion. So I got really passionate about that. The other thing that working at those kind of companies taught me was like, they have a lot of bureaucracy when you're working at Google, but the one great thing is it helps you teach you the very fundamental infrastructure really well. So like concepts like Pixel and pixel tracking is something I had to get really good at, at Google, and bring a lot of those learnings, to Lease Magnets.
Yeah, that's amazing, Julia. Yeah, just learning that one part about the, you know, the giving nonprofits free websites. I mean, that's amazing. Like, how many actual websites and nonprofits did you work with?
Yeah. So we support over 125 nonprofits and organizations using on Hoist Your Voice today. And then thousands of people have access to the training and resources.
And is that still your platform? Like, you still?
Yep. Yeah, Hoist Your Voice is like very much a resource that you can kind of, you know, we now have a, you know, every year we select 10 to 20 more individuals that they can onboard, and we provide them with resources to get started.
That's awesome. Well, kudos to that. I'm gonna have to check it out and dive in a little more. I mean, yeah, there's tons of opportunity there, and I'm sure there's people who do nonprofits that are listening to the call that might be able to possibly apply in the future too. So exciting.
That'd be awesome.
What was the domain one more time for that?
Host Your Voice.
Hostyourvoice.com.
.org. Yeah, .com or .org.
.org. Okay. Great domain, by the way, too. All right.
I'm a big domain guy.
Julie is really good at picking domains, by the way.
Yeah. I love domains. Yeah, I told you, it's magic. $12.99 and you can get a spot of real estate.
Yeah. I always like to call it. Since I do like flower farming on the side, I like to say like your domain's like your seed and you're planting it in the Google soil, right? And then you just got to nurture it. And so
I love it.
So now let's get into your founder story, Amulya. What initially sparked the idea for Lease Magnets, the mission, and what was it like in the early days of your startup?
Yeah. So guys, I'm so glad we had the line of questioning we had already. So you guys can imagine, I've been building these websites. I've been doing it for these other businesses, and I've seen some of the value been created, but, when I went in college, I noticed that there was this weird kind of ambivalent opportunity. Actually, I would characterize it as asymmetric opportunity. I was walking through all the, I was going through apartment shopping my own. Eventually, you have to go from campus, on-campus dorms to off-campus housing. And the process for shopping, I was going through these different websites and I was trying to shop, but I just found myself testing the websites. I was like going through these websites. I was like, what? These, like, how are you telling me that this? I remember spending time, instead of shopping for the floor plan, I was like, wait, how many units do you have? You're telling me this is a $10 to $25 million e-commerce company and all they have is a contact us form? It boggled my mind after been focusing on, you know, some of these e-commerce websites for a while. And so then I knew, okay, like even more than shopping. In fact, I think I stopped shopping for websites and I was like, I'm shopping for a partner. I remember there's a long story here, but end up knocking on every single apartment door. I had some experience with optimizing websites, but just because you have experience doesn't mean you get trusted. And there's a longer story, you know, there, but, and we can get into that if you guys would like, but, you know, ultimately it was seeded in the fact that these apartments were $25 million companies, e-commerce companies, but they were not treated as such. Their website presence was ignored and it definitely was not optimized. And so we ultimately started, before they would trust us with a digital presence, we ran a physical flyer campaign where I legitimately, for the one manager that gave me not even a paid shot, he just sat me down. I knew it was an opportunity. We legitimately took the problem that he was facing, which was basically he was competing with newer properties that entered the market and he wasn't sure why. We built like a robust, you know, digital, physical flyer strategy. So before we did, we were physical because they wouldn't just trust us the website based on one conversation. The property manager didn't even have the ability to do that. And so we printed out flyers. We had QR tracked, you know, QR codes that would turn into a digital form that would lead to them to the website. And I remember we went to a on-campus housing fair and we basically started to try. I showed up at 10 a.m. on the late registration housing day. So this is if you were looking for off-campus housing, but you just couldn't find anything. So you're just going to resort to on-campus. And most of the time, it's just basically not because of a decision, but because of lack of search, you'd end up at the late campus housing registration fair. And so we found that as an opportunity, a pot of gold. And then we just started flaring. So I showed up at 9 a.m. right when it opened. And I just, no additional information. No one was doing this. I decided to kind of pitch cold feet to people in line. Eventually, I called some of my friends and asked if they could join me. And then they started basically, we tried all the different types of strategies. At one point, we were dropping flyers and I had my friends picking it up and say, oh, wow, this is so exciting. And then they started walking out to try to create any form of social group, try to create reaction. Digital marketing strategies that we do on the website, just in real life. And so we would try A-B testing everything. But I remember
awesome.
It was around 3 p.m., 3:30 p.m. The Red Lane Housing Registration Fair closes at 4. Christina, she says, she was literally signing her on-campus dorm. She said, okay, guys, I'll give you guys a shot. She asked them how long they have until they close. This is the last day, and this is the only day. She said, oh, you have 30 minutes? Okay. So we legitimately, myself, two of the guys legitimately walked her to Zaragoza West, which was the apartment we had on the flyers. She takes the tour and then she signs a $13,000 lease. Shortly after, right on the spot, in the course of 10, 15 minutes after taking a tour. And that taught me two really important lessons. One, it taught me the nature is there are people you can tour. If you can reach them with a great tour, and you can find those individuals, there are leases you can sign that have not yet been signed. There are people who were willing to sign that just not reached. And if you can make the tour an easier process or remove the friction from taking the tour, you have an opportunity to sign more leases. That was the first lesson. The second lesson is to get started, right? And even if you don't have the infrastructure to know or a specific rule book on how to find a partner, get started and create value. And I think that's what we've been doing over the several years. That we got a chance to trust the website. That's their one property turned into several properties. They gave us their portfolio to manage and optimize. And eventually, as I was getting better at technology, we saw a couple opportunities, particularly sparked with COVID, to bring the virtual leasing agent to the website. And so our first product was this smart virtual leasing agent that's really leaded by interactive guided video. And right at the precipice, right at the start of COVID, is right around when we invented the technology. It kind of took off on a mind of its own non-linearly from there. And now we're in like 35 states. It's been a really exciting journey, hundreds of thousands of tours delivered, millions of dollars worth of leases, tens of millions of dollars worth of leases. So hopefully that provides some story and what sparked the mission and what was the early days and, a little bit of where we are now.
That's amazing. And you know what I love is every time we hear like a founder story, including yours just now, is that passion and that energy that, that comes as if it was just yesterday. And yeah. What's beautiful is when you can still have that same like zest and, for it and, just the brainstorm to the conception to, the success that you've had is amazing. And I appreciate your excitement still through it all because it's almost like, wow, one thing led to another, literally. And as a lot of opportunity for home. So you already jumped in a little bit about the virtual leasing and stuff, but I want to explain a little bit more about the AI, it's AI powered centralized leasing platform, how it works, what makes it unique for our industry. And obviously sharing like a high level overview of the product offerings.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got started just trying to solve a very simple problem. With what we call a virtual leasing agent, can we create and put an interactive, great, personally guided tour on every website? The older version of that would be to call it older version of that same kind of product would be a chatbot. But what we wanted to do was we want to provide a human guided video chatbot, really. That was like the first element. And the straight idea was, instead of providing just text-based answers, we want to provide video-based answers, and we want to provide video-based information. Video is obviously a megatrend. It's now over 50% of the internet bandwidth, over 65% of internet traffic. It's a megatrend today, and I think people want to have a really realistic look of their apartment, as well as a guided human person look even before they step in. Those were the trends that we were first operating in with, and that's what the virtual leasing agent is. Now, over time, new technologies have allowed us to make that process and in product design has allowed to make that first product even better. Virtual leasing agent now can provide every single website visitor a guided tour. They can answer questions as you take the tour. It can help schedule appointments or integrated with several CRMs and PMSs. So it's a very interactive experience that feels like you're leasing. And we have ideas and visions to make it even better with a virtual leasing agent. And one of those things when it came to brainstorming sessions that the customer and us came up together was like, they were asked the question, hey, what if somehow like a video, one of their other ideas was to combine 3D plus video. And so we did that. We had like a, you know, you can take 3D tour with the video in the corner. And then one of our partners said, hey, what if you could just like turn that look video in the corner to a live person? What if we could just like knock, knock a website visitor? Because you have people walking through your front door all the time. What if you just knock, knock that virtual, you know, that website, you know, front door that you have, and like turn these passive website visitors into active shoppers. And so that was the birth of the virtual leasing office. And so we talked about the virtual leasing, the website, which is the virtual leasing front door, the virtual leasing agent that lives on the website. And then the virtual leasing office was meant so that your office could turn a passive website visitor into active one. And so we took all the media we already had on the Lease Magnet virtual leasing agent, turn it into an active experience where you can basically provide a guided tour. And really that took off with people who were, you know, agencies that were helped optimize property management teams. And so those agents would come in, they would utilize our product. We saw with very active and more aggressive leasing style, they did unbelievably well. They helped outcompete in their markets. And this was a tool to make it's easier to turn someone's on a phone call or someone's on the website, turn them into an active guided prospect. We can answer some questions, not only in a passive way, but in an active, and then get them to nudge to start applying. And I think we're still working on merging the two products so that they become even more powerful together. And that's been really fun. Last big kind of mega trend, we talked about it being able to answer questions with AI. Like the other one is like, look, we're living in a time where more than ever, AI has, and Martin, you say this really well, AI has the potential to be one of the most disruptive forces in history. And it's, I feel like, responsibility for any one of us building a technology, for any of our partners to be able to provide really great experiences to our, you know, customers. Because if we don't, someone else will. And so it's been, you know, one thing we've been really staunch here at Lease Magnets is to build, you know, integrate AI into reasonable but powerful ways. And so there's much more in the pipeline, but we already started using AI to answer questions while you're in the tour. And then we're using it to help make some smarter decisions based on the data, first party data we're able to capture from website traffic. So that's a snippet. There's more coming a lot more than I'm excited about, like particularly around AI calling and making the virtual leasing office take, you know, jump off, you know, even a video page directly to your phone. So much more there, but the virtual leasing agent, the virtual leasing office, and our ALA, our assisted AI leasing agent that helps follow up with leads.
Beautiful. I had a quick question. So there's obviously the word artificial intelligence, AI, is thrown around a lot, especially in our industry. From your perspective, how would you define AI in our world?
So my question to you, Martin, I'm going to throw it back to you for a second. What do you think is the prevalent definition of AI?
Because I remember digging into it a little bit. I know like the first mention of artificial intelligence was like back in the early 1950s, where they kind of did the Turing test, and he developed that. Or I believe it was Robert Turing or something like that. And he was the one that first coined the term artificial intelligence. And that was the ability to basically test the machine against a human to basically be able to do what a human could do without the machine, like them even knowing that it's a machine, essentially, right? That was like the original definition. And I feel like today it might be a little bit different, but that's from my perspective, kind of what AI, I guess, originally meant. But I wonder your perspective today on what you feel like that means today.
That's really great and really fascinating conversation that we could be here 2 hours discuss. But it's simply what it comes to AIs, it's the nature of, and machine learning is the nature of creating a neuron infrastructure, much like it is to a human. So it's really about building the neuron pathways we call it vector databases, and be able to find the relevant information vectorized and be able to retrieve it. That's just a way to say the way your brain works is with neurons. Machine learning works with vector databases, and basically embedding information into this vector database to be able to pull it up with just some form of input and then find an output that's relevant. And there is a very linear way to think about it when it comes to machine learning. That's text retrieval. But then there's this next level where we're entering, which is not just text retrieval, but it's image retrieval, it's video retrieval, it's you know, business offers, et cetera, retrieval. And it's learning how to embed information. And then somewhat simultaneously as valuable or almost equally as valuable is to richly take that information that you retrieve back and then put it into a rich interface back to the user, right? There's a lot more we can talk about that, but like the whole idea of what makes AI special isn't that it's just always going to be AI, like an AI chat. It's going to start evolving into basically turning an AI query into very rich answers and responses with pictures, with videos. And the process of embedding that information and then manipulating the back to information is, I think, where a lot of AI is going. But then it's also about logical decisions, right? So when should we follow up with this individual? So you're embedding every piece of information is going to be embedded. And then the way you query it is going to have some form of logistic and heuristic to it. And then you can turn it into some form of, okay, I should follow up in 5 days or 10 days based on this leasing agent, or sorry, this lead and prospect. Mm-hmm. And so learning to embed the information and pull up valuable data is what I would say the purpose of artificial intelligence. And then the way to actually create it is like you're building neurons, or in this case, you're embedding data into vector databases instead of neurons in the brain, and you're learning how to interpolate it after.
Beautiful.
That's great. I think that definitely is, you kind of like broke it down too for an average person to understand it. I think we are in that world. We've been in the world, right, of obviously machine learning, and it's now what we're doing that matters. So that's exciting about your platform. But, you know, going back to your platform, I wanted to find out, like, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but what was the initial reception of your platform in the market? And how are you gathering feedback now for future improvements? I know you said you had a lot coming in next chapter.
Yeah. So I'm very curious to have this open-ended conversation to hear how you guys have evolved and, how your reception has, evolved over the years. But for us, it wasn't linear. We started with this process of just learning with our customer. We helped them analyze the market, see what market trends are. The property managers that we worked with continue to refer us if they ever move property managers. And we started just building a cohort of customers that we could understand and study. And then from there, we built a virtual leasing agent. We took some of our shopping experiences and we just put it out there on some of our partners' websites. And from there, it's interesting. We have two set of customers. And I think almost most multifamily vendors have it to those two set of customers. And you can probably guess it. One is a property manager, but the second is the end customer, the end shopper. And so we've really tried to create a loop in the market where we do test in the market, some market test, and where we call back certain of our prospects who take the tour and see what they liked about the tour, what part of the tour could be better. And then do the same thing, obviously, with our PMS systems. When COVID happened, our product felt like an absolute need in the market because it felt like there was no substitute for that in-person tour that was really significant. FaceTime didn't do the trick. A simple, YouTube video did the trick. And even the infrastructure for creating this media was broken. And so what we started was filling a hole in the market. And then I think what we've started to evolve with this feedback is, okay, how do you not just make fill a hole, but how do you become part of an integrated team? And I think that's what we're continually to work across. I think the market's going to change. We've set up market standards in some ways. We've had now people joining us in the market, which is exciting, but also something that has to keep us on our toes to make sure that we're providing the infrastructure and tools that our customers need. And then providing them still a virtual leasing advantage. Because that's ultimately what we're trying to help do is like not only level the playing field, but also give our true partners a virtual leasing advantage in the marketplace. So there's I think the market standards continue to evolve, and keeping up with that is something that we've been really excited to push. And the cool thing is we took office student living. We now are working with the number one, we work with the top 10 properties in student housing, top 50 property managers. We are now working in senior living, and obviously we have amazing partners in multifamily. But the interesting thing is there's just so much room for improvement. Like today, I was just working on a new design for an updated virtual leasing agent, and when I was working on it, I just couldn't stop smiling. I was like, oh my goodness, this actually feels amazing. And this was legitimately just done today. And I just think my goodness, there's so much runway for much, so much more innovation. And I think that to me gets me really excited, because like the truth is the market responds, but market doesn't necessarily create the solutions. We have to be forward thinking and put solutions out the marketplace. And the cool thing is now we're large enough where we can run an A/B test on many properties and we can get data results literally tomorrow on tens of thousands of website visitors. So to me, that's super exciting.
I think that's definitely the need where, there's some predictive analysis that has to happen, right? To really understand what your clients and the industry and the consumer are looking for in the next chapter journey. And to your point, for sure, the opportunity during COVID was there. I think your product was probably like so alive and well. And I think that what I've learned as a business operator and even as a consumer, like there's certain things that we should never go back on or in, because of things we learned through COVID, including like, just the idea of doing a lot of things virtually, right? And the efficiency come from that. And I think that our industry is certainly learning that. I think that the conversation or topic of centralized leasing has been something they wanted to do before. I think that now everybody is just pushing to that. So again, kudos to you, because you were a step ahead of it in creating the virtual leasing office. And I don't think there's going back, right? Because think about the scalability of that, even though you said 10 to 12 million plus dollar assets, that's one thing too, that post-COVID is everyone's trying to save a dollar or two and really maximize the bandwidth of their people. I think that there's something to say about that as well, that you're really giving back time to truly be that in-person customer service agent. I came from the onsite, so I know what that is like. Like you don't have enough time in a day to be an amazing leasing agent, an amazing bill collector, an amazing manager, and a customer service rep, right? I'm talking 20 years ago. So imagine today. So if we could still help them to do their job and lease apartments and be great at what they do, in person, I think that we're giving back. That's our charity. So we're probably but we're also giving them.
I love that so much, Ron. And so what we learned when it comes to like Lease Magnets and the mentioned name, we ultimately, what we say internally, it's like Lease Magnets is not about the software. It's about the people we empower and what we want them to be after they're empowered. That's what we want a Lease Magnet to be. That's always been who the Lease Magnet is. We're just a tool that empowers and magnifies that.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. And you've done a great job at it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Virtual Lease Agent, Virtual Lease LA is more to come. Yeah, and more to come for sure.
So, Amulya, we have one final question before we start getting into closing thoughts and just wrapping it up. So here it is. What lessons have you learned as a tech startup founder in the multifamily industry that you can share with other entrepreneurs who might be listening, who might be scared to take that jump and start that product, start that company?
Great question.
Martin, the interesting thing about this question is I think the first answer is you got to take the first step. That is, I think, the obvious answer. But I think there's a more nuanced answer that is there. And I think there's incredible leverage in taking the first step and then asking for help and then testing in the marketplace as soon as possible. Find a way to provide someone else value quickly. Do things don't scale. We built a physical flyer campaign before we got access to digital presence. And I knew the whole time I wanted to access their digital presence. That's what I pitched them from the beginning. But you got to find a way to create value right now before you can do what you want to do tomorrow. Over time, the same thing is to get better understanding of our customers. I eventually lived at one of our customers' properties. I then volunteered to work one or two days out of the week as a leasing manager, just to see how we're using our tool. Not a leasing manager, a leasing agent, and see how they're using the tool. And so I think the second thing that I'm learning even better now is stay attuned to your customer, get involved. And then third thing is learn where the trend is, right? I think you'll always see, like for me, asymmetric risk and asymmetric opportunity comes best by horizontal innovation. And that's when you take something that you're seeing happen in another industry, you take learnings, for example, what I'd seen at Google, take some of your learnings, things that you maybe have a competitive advantage on, and try to bring that information inside, as well as a thoughtful twist and iteration on it into a new market that really could benefit from the help. I think property management is an industry that's evolving quickly and becoming even more resources staff. But I think there's markets like property management that just are servicing and creating a lot of value in the ecosystem that if you're given the opportunity to make a difference, that difference can be magnified over not only incredible number of residents, but also owners, investors, et cetera. I think the last thing is, I think for me, an overall reflection on being a part of property management, I think what I feel is like I never expected to 100% be in property management. It wasn't part of my game plan, but I think for me the most one thing I felt is like I think there's no more kind of awesome thing to do than affect how people live and make some of the most important decisions of their life, which is where they settle down and who their neighbor is with, and what they're across from. And I think being able to make those decisions and enable the property manager to serve those individuals in probably important decisions and moments in their life, I think is one of the coolest things we can do. So
helping residents come home.
Yes.
All right, team. Well, we got to wrap it up. We're getting to the bottom of the hour. Once again, thank you again, Amulya, for joining us on the Multifamily Podcast. Tons of insights and nuggets to digest here. So please go through the podcast once, go through it again. Make sure to check out leasemagnets.com to learn more about their amazing products. And don't forget to subscribe to the Multifamily Podcast at multifamilypodcast.com. And also get your free marketing analysis at apartmentseo.com. Until next time, bye, everybody.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Multifamily Podcast, brought to you by co-founders of Apartment SEO, a premier Google agency, with your hosts, Ron Ruiz and Martin Kinchola. Join us again next time as we continue to bring you the latest and greatest in the multifamily industry.